Well, good morning, everyone. We're commencing our series on pastoral care, so let's pray. Lord and Heavenly Father, as we come to this vital topic, help us to understand more about what pastoral care is. May you speak through me, but especially through your words in the Bible. We ask this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. I want to start off with a tale of two people. On Friday, I visited somebody in their home. This is somebody from our church. This lady has been in hospital, has come out, and I went to visit her. When I got there, we talked about a situation, we talked about Bible passages, and I prayed with her. And I was greatly encouraged because she said, God has actually ministered to me and the people from the church that have been to see me. She's had people ring her up, people that write her letters, and also people that have been to visit her. And I thought, this is pastoral care. And she hasn't yet come back to church, but she's excited to come back to church because she's felt really cared for. And let me say, this is not a unique story. I hear lots of examples of good pastoral care happening in our church. And it's just great. It gladdens my heart when these things happen. So as we commence our series on pastoral care, we wish to encourage this type of pastoral care to continue and indeed to increase. But I said it's a tale of two people. In contrast, early in the year, I heard about somebody else from our church who was not able to come to church for a while because they'd been in hospital and had been sick. I visited them and then they said after my visit, nobody came for 2 months. This made me feel really sad. Nobody had actually missed them. And sadly, this is not a unique situation. What we want to do with our program, our system of pastoral care, is to make it more comprehensive. We're not saying nothing is happening, but we're saying people are falling through the cracks. And we need to, in a church our size, to make it more comprehensive for it to work more effectively. So let's think about pastoral care. As we think about pastoral care, I want you to ponder this fact up on the screen. Caring is not an optional extra for Christians. It's not just if you feel like it. It's not an optional extra. Why? Well, we look at the example of Jesus, his life and his teaching. Jesus cares for people. He cares for their physical needs, their emotional needs, and their spiritual needs. Example of Jesus caring for people is when he actually does the lowliest job of the lowliest servant. He washes his disciples' smelly, stinking, dirty feet. He does so much for his disciples and he cares for them. He also, of course, cares for us, ultimately, by dying on the cross to take the punishment we deserve. And so Jesus has absolute credibility because he himself has served and cared and loved his followers when he says this in John chapter 13. A new command, we know this, don't we? It's a very famous saying. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all men will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. We are to care for each other. And do you notice, it's not just a suggestion of Jesus, it's a command. Do you notice that we are to love others because Jesus commands us? And Jesus teaches that Christians caring for each other in a loving way will also impact those outside the church. So as we commence this series on pastoral care, let us appreciate and acknowledge how much is already happening in our church. But let us work together to having a more comprehensive system or program. I'm going to outline some of it today. But let me give a few qualifications. It's not going to happen overnight. It's going to take a while to set it up and develop it fully. We need to train and equip people to be more effective in pastoral care. Also at the moment, It is a work in progress. Pastoral care, by its very nature, is messy at times. We want some feedback on this series and suggestions, so give them to the ministry staff. Let's think about the term pastoral care. It's become a politically correct term, in many ways officially, and so it's lost its distinctive Christian base. So this concept of pastoral care, as you can see up there, schools use it, even companies use it, without actually thinking of the Christian basis of it. So let's think about specific pastoral care. So as we think about this, what is pastoral care? Well, there's a whole lot of things. You can see some of the things up on the screen. There's a whole lot of things involved in pastoral care. But let's think about biblical pastoral care. The pastoral care term comes from the word pastor, which is the biblical term coming from the word shepherd. This concept's developed in the Old Testament. Best known example, Psalm 23, where God is our loving shepherd who cares for all of us. In the New Testament, we see Jesus referred to as the loving shepherd. And the elders in the New Testament are called to be shepherds of God's flock, Acts 21, Peter 5. Pastoral care can take many forms. Jesus cares for people's physical, emotional, and spiritual needs. And we are to do the same. Christian pastoral care includes practical care for people. However, what's at the centre of it? Well, have a look at this slide. Specific Christian pastoral care, or SCPC, as I've sort of named it. SCPC, what's it about? The core of it involves helping people grow and mature in Christ. It's about God using people to help other people become the type of people he wants them to be. And through the ups and downs of life, the crises and the normal times, we care for people and are encouraging them to grow closer to Jesus. So there is something distinctive about specific Christian pastoral care. We're getting a lot of information from this lady, Jill McGilvray. She used to lecture at Mary Andrews College, where Marge also lectures. And she's written this booklet, which is called God's Love in Action. And it's very helpful. She defines pastoral care in this way, which I think just really resonates with me, and I hope it will resonate with you. Let's have a look at the way she defines it. She says, it's being God's love with skin on to one another. Think about it. It's being God's love with skin on to each other. We're planning to have people who are trained as pastoral carers to meet regularly with another person in a one-to-one situation. So we're going to do it male to male and female to female for obvious reasons. And I wanted to put this one up first because a lot of people think pastoral care is just for the ladies. But guys, it's vital that many of us get involved in ministering to other blokes. Also, of course, there's female to female. We'll be aiming to show God's love with skin on as we seek to care for people and help them grow in their relationship with Jesus. Now, our training course will look at the biblical teaching. We're using this Jill McGilvray book. We're also making available Bible studies, which I've put on the trolley at the back as you go out. A lot more biblical information about what Jesus being our shepherd, God being our shepherd, and what pastoral care is, what it isn't, and encourage you to take it. I've got enough for everyone to take one. To use it by yourself or in your home Bible study growth groups, if you'd like to do that. As well as that, as we go through our sermon series, we're looking at some passages on pastoral care over the next 4 weeks. So we're going to look at two of them right now. So if you have your handout in front of you, we're on to point number two. Christians loving and ministering to each other. Let's look first at 1 John chapter 4. This passage, very popular at weddings, as it's all about love. But the specific context of the passage is love within the Christian community. As Christians, we are to love one another because God first loved us. It is a splendid passage, isn't it? But do you see the centerpiece? It's the end of verse 8. God is love. John, the writer, is not identifying a quality that God possesses. Rather, he's making a statement about the essence of God's being. It's not simply that God loves, but that he is love. John's encouraging his readers to love one another. Caring for each other is the mark of a true Christian who has grasped that God is love. Then as we look to verses 9 and 10, we see that all our definitions of what love is and how it behaves must be drawn from God himself. The love that is the proof of a true relationship with God results in acts of caring and love for each other. It goes on in verse 10 to say that God loved us so much that he gives Jesus as an atoning sacrifice to pay the penalty for our sins. And this leads on to verse 11, which gives us our motivation for caring for each other. God has loved us so much by sending Jesus to die for us. Therefore, we also ought to love one another. The Christian church should be a community of love, unlike any other in human society. Love amongst the members of the church will be a strong attraction to others. The church is God's audiovisual presentation to a dying world, to show them God in action. People should be able to look at the Christian fellowship and see the God of love within his people. The cynicism of our society towards about the church and about God will be broken down more and more as they see Christian love in action, love with skin on. Do you notice in verse 11, it's not just a suggestion to love. Again, like John 13, it's a command to love. Love with skin on. And in verse 12, as we're loving each other, God is made more manifest in our lives. We grasp more fully his amazing love for us. Let me tell you a story. At a previous church, a guy wrote a letter to me, and he said to me, I've just changed my mind about the church. I used to hate the church and the people in it. And he explained. He said, I'm homosexual. And it seemed to me that the people in the church hated me and all people like me. And I never went near the church. But the reason he wrote the letter was he had a niece who was a member of our church. She was only young and she got very sick. She got leukemia and tragically died. And we in the church cared for her in many amazing ways. Lots of people in the church. He wrote and said, your love for my niece and your love towards my brother's family have made me reconsider my attitude towards God and the church. Isn't that fantastic? I don't know what ever happened to that guy, but when we are loving each other, the world outside really notices. He had witnessed love with skin on in action. Let's have a look at our second passage, Ephesians 4. I just want to look at verses 11 to 13 in the bold print. Paul speaking about Jesus. It was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service, so the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. The role of the full-time minister is not to do all the ministry by himself. Rather, do you notice? It is to train and encourage and equip others to be ministering alongside himself. I believe this is what is meant by to prepare God's people for works of service, that phrase. In my first full-time ministry position, we were at Merrylands and South Granville. Now, South Granville was a tiny little church that only had 25 people, older people when we got there, and Merrylands was a big church. South Granville, they couldn't pay the minister anymore, so the two churches were brought together, and I became the assistant minister of both of them, with particular responsibility for the smaller church. But it wasn't my whole focus, of course, because I was involved in the bigger church as well. There was one guy who was part of the smaller church, and he had got sick, which meant he had to go into hospital on a fairly regular basis. Over about 18 months, I went to visit him each time he went to hospital, and I did it at least six times. The seventh time, I just didn't get there. There were actually two people in the bigger church that were involved in my Bible study groups and other things. They both had had close relatives die, and my focus was on these people. Afterwards, I went back to this guy and said, "Look, I'm sorry," when he came out of hospital, "I didn't get there." He didn't accept my apology. He and his wife ended up leaving the church. Made me realize that I can't do it all myself. If I'd been the minister of just those 25 older people, of course I would have got there. But I had a bigger focus. In a large church, the full-time ministry staff can't care for everybody. We need some sort of program or system, and that's what we're trying to do. I'm trying to prepare God's people for works of service in the area of pastoral care. I'm doing it now in the sermon and encouraging us all to look for and take opportunities to lovingly care for each other. We'll also be running a training course for specific Christian pastoral care and setting up a system of pastoral carers so we can more comprehensively care for each other. Now, I, of course, will still be doing pastoral care, but I see my role and that of Stephen and Matthew a bit like this, a bit like the captain coach of a sporting team. See the coach in the middle? He is wearing the uniform, so he's playing the game, but he's instructing and training and equipping the others to play the game as well. Captain coach. But he's not the only one on the court. It's the same with me. I want to be encouraging and equipping and helping others to work together with us to do as much pastoral care as we can. Do you notice that the aim of such patterns of ministry is given in verse 13 of Ephesians 4? It's that we all reach maturity in the faith. Maturity comes, part of it, through being actively involved in ministry. Many of you would have heard the 1-1-1 principle that I've been talking about. I would love to have as many people as possible 1-1-1. Think about this. Be regularly attending one church service, coming as much as you can, because you can grow in your faith and you can minister to each other. And people, when they stop coming regularly, start to drift. It's a good thing for us to come to church regularly. Many people as possible to regularly attend one small Bible study growth group. And if you're not sure of which one to go to, talk to Matthew, talk to myself. We'd love to have you. We've got a whole lot of groups you can join every day of the week, often in the mornings and evenings as well. Come and talk to us if you'd like to be in that. And thirdly, be involved in one area of ministry. And maybe pastoral care is the area that's just right for you. We'd like you to be thinking and praying about that. It's not right for everybody, but maybe this is a particular area where you can get more involved in. Well, let's get very practical. Point number three. Developing, I've left a word out here, a specific Christian pastoral care program. I left the word care out. I'm sorry about that. I want to say that we appreciate that people have been trained in pastoral care in the past. We greatly value the pastoral care that's already happening. We want to encourage the ongoing pastoral care in our church. However, the specific pastoral care program that we're setting up will complement what's already happening. Pastoral care already happens in friendship groups, already happens in our growth home Bible study groups. If you're already doing pastoral care, please continue. But hopefully this sermon series will encourage you and also give you more ideas about pastoral care. Recently, last year, some were trained in pastoral care. Last year we had a Mary Andrews College course held here in this church, in this room. And the people who are doing this course are forming the core of our pastoral care team. But they're not enough people. We want to develop and expand this team. So here are some practical details. If you have a look at the back of your handout, please. And you'll see up the top is a diagram. The pastoral care ministry structure. Start at the bottom of the diagram. The idea is that those in need tell people in the congregation, and the congregation then informs the pastoral carers who will be known to the rest of the congregation. And you see down the bottom, we've got the people that are already there trained from particular services. The congregation will actually be able to see who's missing from church and try and follow them up. By the way, if you know of people in need, please tell us. Now, Linda Parry, and here's a picture of Linda. I got that just off the internet, Linda, in case you're wondering where it came from. She's famous anyway. You just Google Linda Parry and there's the picture, okay? Anyway, she's a member of our parish council, member of our 9:30 service. I'm delighted that we have Linda heading up this program. She's a clinical psychologist with many years of experience in counselling and training, also counselling and also training and supervising others. And I want to say thank you already for the large number of hours she's put into developing this program. So can you let us know of pastoral care needs at the moment? We're aware that many over the years have somehow fallen through the cracks. So talk to Linda or myself or the people listed on the back of this page. If you know of others that would benefit from Christian-specific pastoral care, please come and talk to us. We, of course, may not be able to meet all the needs all at once. We may indeed have to wait for a while, so until we get more people trained in pastoral care to cover all the needs in our congregation. Well, let's think about the specific pastoral care training. You'll see this, that it's going to happen on September the 3rd. This is not going to be a once-only training. We're hoping to have this on a regular basis to gradually grow the team. It's for a whole day, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. If you're interested, please talk to Linda or Michelle or myself. If you are interested in this course and you can't make just a whole day, talk to us and we'll see if we can run it over 4 nights as well. There also will be ongoing training. In thinking about specific pastoral care, there are lots of elements of friendship in it. But we want to say there is a difference. It's a specific focus on caring for the person. We envisage, simply, there'll be regular contact between the pastoral carer and the person they are caring for. We'll be assigning, as I said, males to males, females to females. The contact should be at least once a month, and more, obviously, as difficult situations arise. Once people are trained, we will talk to them about whether they want to be part of the team. This will depend on their gifts and their availability. But everyone would be very welcome to do the training because you can just do general pastoral care. But some people are going to have as specific pastoral cares, meeting one-to-one with people in need. Also, our pastoral carer will meet with their advisor regularly. We already have a panel of advisors who are listed. This is a very important structure because we want people to either not do too much or not do too little. And if they get a bit out of their depth in the pastoral care relationship, to be able to talk through with somebody. We have developed, and you'll see the list of the pastoral care advisory committee there. We've also developed a code of conduct. Confidentiality is very important. The carer will keep things confidential and only discuss matters if they need to with their advisor. And that's where it will stop. But we will be keeping a record of who is being cared for. But this is just for Linda and myself to know so that we can cover as many people as possible and just know they're being cared for by so-and-so, they're being cared by so-and-so. Understand the system. We want to try and be comprehensive. We have this code of conduct. And if you want to find out more, please talk to Linda or myself. The existing members of the team have already been trained in confidentiality matters. Now, we are concerned that we do not create unrealistic expectations on an individual or a whole church basis. Our aim is to help people receive specific Christian pastoral care that will enable them to grow in their relationship with Jesus. This will assist them to cope with issues in their lives. The whole program, though, will be on an organic process. You can't actually make it neat. By definition, pastoral care is messy at times. People have different levels of need. People, pastoral carers, are different. A pastoral care relationship with the person they're caring for will be not the same as other pastoral care relationships. So the program is in a developmental phase. We have some people trained and we'll be training more on September the 3rd. Let me just conclude. And then I'm going to pray, and then if anybody has a question that they think is relevant for the whole of the church, I'm happy to try and answer it. Well, Linda's here too. She can have a stab at it if she'd like to. Let me conclude. Pastoral care. Why do we do it? Well, John 13, 1 John 4, Jesus says, love each other as I have loved you. It is a command. How do we do it? Well, I think this great illustration Jill McGilvray gives, being God's love with skin on to one another, just sums it up. Can I encourage you, everybody, take one of these Bible study for individual or group use. They're on the trolley just as you go out on the left-hand side out the door. Encourage you to read about it, to reflect, to discuss with each other, and to pray about it. Especially pray about whether this is something that you can be involved in. Let me pray, and then if there's any questions, I'll take a stab at answering them. Lord, we thank you that you showed your love for us through the Lord Jesus Christ, modeling good pastoral care. Help us all to follow his example. We praise you that you are love, and that our motivation to love others comes from seeing your love for us in action as Jesus dies for us as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Help us all to prayerfully consider whether we can be part of the pastoral care team. Help us all to be a church where we are being God's love with skin on to each other. We pray this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.